As God shall be pleased to help me this evening, I seek to direct your prayerful attention to a subject you will find in the Acts of the Apostles. And in chapter 16, we'll read some words in the midst of verse 14. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, and words you will find in the midst of verse 14. Whose heart the Lord opened. Acts chapter 16, and the words in the midst of verse 14. Whose heart the Lord opened. The whole verse reading, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. It was these words in particular that rested upon my spirit in venturing here this evening, and how they bring before us the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit in the work of grace in the soul. And it came in that way, that where there is an opening of the Lord, there is not just a hearing as we have it here, but as this dear soul was a worshipping soul, there was that which went out from her soul also. And so we felt to read that prayer of the destitute, that mourner's prayer, but it speaks so encouragingly of the Lord's appearing, of coming even to such souls who are brought low, to indeed bring the blessing of God unto them. And must that not have been so here with Lydia, gathering with those women that were meeting for prayer by the riverside? Of course, this account we have here in the Acts of the Apostles speaks of the wondrous sovereignty of God in directing the apostle to go to that place, not to turn one way or the other, but in that vision that he beheld, the man of Macedonia crying in his prayer, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And so the directing of God of his servant to be found where we read of these women that were making those prayers unto the Lord. And here, this one in particular that is mentioned, of Lydia, the seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. Oh, what is our hearing if in our hearing it does not enter our hearts? What a great mercy when we have known those times when the things of God have come particularly to us in that way into our souls, entered within us. Has been that indeed of what we read here concerning Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. It may have been indeed the first time that she had heard these things spoken of. But were they not yet the things that the Spirit had brought her soul into the exercise of, the concern over? And what a great mercy if we come into the house of God in that way of exercise and concern over our souls. There are no better hearers for your pastor here, any minister, those exercised hearers and praying hearers for the manna from the word to be found in their hearts. And so as those, the apostle was found here, was this not so, that there was those prepared of God to receive the word that was to be spoken? And it is in this particular way the Lord working mightily in the soul. The Lord opening that which was beforehand shut up. For it brings before us indeed that without the Lord's appearing we are not opened, our hearts are not there made ready, as softened to receive the things of the truth. Alas, in our own spirit we are hardened unto them. What a solemn thing is our hardness of heart, our rejection of the things of God. Many hearings of the word of God, but how many times in our hearings have they come where we are? It is not through that fault with the word, but it is so solemnly then the sins of our hearts that causes our hearts to be hardened. And how helpless we are concerning that hardness of heart. How wonderful here is the God that softens a hard heart, that gives the promise of that heart of flesh, that new heart, that new spirit that the prophet Ezekiel was given to speak of, the prophet in the place of captivity that would speak of the Lord's prospering of his people when they were brought back again, and even those that were with him. So Ezekiel speaks in that 36th chapter there of that heart then of flesh, that softened heart, that heart that indeed God giveth to receive his word, to hear to the prophet of the soul, and to be that which the prophet Isaiah speaks of, here and your soul shall live. Was this not here likewise with Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened? How we need the opening of our hearts this evening. Oh, it is in the hand of our gracious God so to touch our hearts, to open our hearts indeed, to soften us and humble us indeed. He knoweth how to soften our hearts, how to humble us before him, how to deal with this proud nature that we have, this heart of ours that is like a stone, so unconcerned, as the hymn writer puts it, looking upon those things of eternity, those things that we cannot give ourselves any life in. And of course the natural man is speaking, well, if that is so, then what is the use then of any concern, any desire? But oh, blessed be God, where he enters in and begins to work, he will not leave that soul to rest short of our heart being softened and opened of God, and the desire he puts within being answered. How solemn is that which we are in our nature, which is dead in those ignorance to the truths of God, dead in our trespasses and in our sins, as the apostle speaks in the Ephesians of those before the grace of God was found in their hearts, dead in trespasses and in sins. It is solemn enough to be in trespasses and in sins, sinning against God, but to be in deadness, ignorance to that solemn state. Oh, the wondrous mercy of God in bringing forth the sigh and the cry out of the soul, and that of the opening of the heart that brings forth those sighs and cries unto God. We have such and one of those cries in the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The feeling of the soul to be sinful, be under condemnation, in great need of mercy. And how we continually need that mercy. It is mercy that spares us to this present time. And without mercy to continue, we cannot go on ourselves, for we must surely be consumed by that righteous anger and wrath of God because of sin. And of the wonder of that truth that the psalmist also speaks of, that the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting and to everlasting. Eternal mercy, or mercy that he speaks of that endureth forever. Here is the working of mercy in that sovereignty of God to whom indeed he would send it. And oh, may that be a hope in our soul this evening. Who can tell in our soul? For he is that same sovereign God who will send it to whom he will. And oh, may there be a who can tell in our hearts as to whether he will be gracious to us or no. Indeed, such is the magnitude of that mercy. Above all the hardness of our hearts, the sinfulness that we are in and of ourselves, and to come to such as we are, and to be found even as was found here in the heart when the one whom we read of then in this very verse then, who worshipped then God, thereby the quickening of God then was that worship of God, that prayer unto God. But how that which was within her needed the further work of God, It brings before us indeed that what God begins, he does not leave undone. And whatsoever God has begun in our own souls, he has not left off that work. But it will be a finished work. Even as the salvation of God is a finished work itself, in the Lord Jesus Christ, having done all things well and having cried, of course, in that particular way, it is finished. But concerning every one of the souls of his dear people, he could not leave this one of his dear ones here, Lydia, without this work then being a finished work indeed, that she should yet hear of these things that her soul was brought into the exercise of. That which she sought her God for must be yet answered cries, answered petitions, as they are in accordance to his will, as he gives those cries indeed for his help, his appearing, his great mercy. And though we may feel like the psalmist that we have read of then in that very lonely place, that cast away place, that sunk down place, yet he doth not despise in that cry that we feel it to be. And surely at best, as we think of those things of our own efforts in prayer, are but poor and needy indeed, but as destitute before God. But blessed be God, he does not cast away and despise that destitute soul in all his groanings. Oh, does he not look down from that height of his sanctuary, as we have read, to hear that groaning of the prisoner, to set at liberty those appointed unto death? Oh, is it so with us this evening? We feel that we are appointed indeed unto death, to be cast away, to be lost forever. And the enemy coming in like a flood, showing us surely that is our just desert. We are sinners and we can never expect any more, because there the wages of sin is death. But oh, he is a liar indeed, for he never goes on to complete that word and speak that the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how the enemy will ever highlight the words of condemnation to cast down the living soul. But blessed be God, his work is to open the heart, to give it to hear that not just the word of condemnation that is needful under the Spirit's teaching, as it is that which brings us to his feet, breaks the hard heart indeed and humbles us under his mighty hand. But oh, it is to bring forth those words of his mercy and his love, the precious gospel indeed, that is to be the cry then of the gospel ministry. You think of those words that open that 40th chapter of Isaiah, that speak forth so wonderfully of the ministry there that follows of the prophet Isaiah. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And so his cry was to be that cry of the gospel. Yes, he had spoken many words of condemnation against them as sinners. But must not that gospel trumpet then be blown in Zion, and the word of truth ministered, because the Lord is working, he is opening the heart to receive that word. He is making room for that message of truth in the soul. He is emptying souls that he might fill them. He is softening the hard heart to receive the truth. Though the soul then in its nature, like Jericho, is straightly shut up, as something that indeed seemed impossible to penetrate. And no doubt, as those Israelites came against Jericho, how could they ever envisage that that city would be overcome? But again, it is God alone that must overcome. It is he that must make known his power. And though Jericho be straightly shut up in our cases, it is he that can bring those walls down. And where he does so, do not we see his sovereign mercy in his preservation, where those of the household of Rahab were preserved yet in the midst of all that desolation? And does not the Lord then deal likewise in their own souls? Though our hearts then by our nature so hard indeed and so shut up against God, yet he alone can open. And as we have it here then, whose heart? Oh, in that particular way then, this heart of Lydia, this dear exercised soul indeed, was found in this place, as it declares then, the Lord opened. Oh, how is it with our hearts this evening? All our hearts are known unto God. We know not each other's hearts. Those things that are within us each are hidden away from us each. But indeed it is not hidden from the Lord. And as we come to worship, we desire indeed that the Lord would appear in each of our hearts, have that burden one for another, for each soul as we meet together, that indeed we may be found as Lydia was found here, having the heart opened, giving that heart to receive the things of the precious gospel. Oh, it is alone the Lord's work. Oh, indeed, we are, alas, in and of ourselves, like those that we read of in the beginning of the Gospel of John, where referring to the Lord Jesus Christ as coming unto his own, and his own received him not. And so as he was rejected even of the Jews whom he was born of and amongst, yet there were those whom he would be received by. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so God has those appointed ones whom he opens their hearts and brings to be then not rejecters of him, but receivers of him. Of course, in our unregeneracy, we are rejecters of the things of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, indeed, who has given us his word, who indeed is that very word himself. Oh, base and sinful we are in our unregeneracy. Oh, and so, still so in a backsliding heart, to not receive the word that he sends. But blessed be God, this almighty power that we have here in the opening of the heart, whose heart the Lord opened. Could be no other. It is to declare indeed the glory of God, to bring then those forth that the Apostle John speaks of, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right and privilege, as the margin renders it, to be the sons of God, the blessing of the children of God, those of his sheep whom the Lord Jesus speaks of in that teaching before the Pharisees, who so much then criticised and sought to set him at naught, declaring indeed that wonderful truth that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. They were not the sheep, they heard not the voice of God. They only heard the outward voice, as it were, then of Jesus of Nazareth, as they looked despisingly upon him. They looked not upon him who was that good shepherd. And so solemnly then, not as a sheep hearing the voice of him as a shepherd. Or do we hear in the word of God the voice of God through his dear son as our shepherd? And there's something of that sweetness and blessed statement that the dear psalmist makes in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, what a statement that is. We may say, well, it is very high in assurance, but how vital it is to have that witness that that is so. For who is it that we seek then to follow? Who is it that we are following? For every one of us are followers this evening hour. Oh, may it be of the Good Shepherd. Because indeed we hear his voice. And through that hearing of that voice we follow him. He declares, and I know them. We will always find those two doctrines of calling and election put together in the Word of God. And the one revealeth the other. The calling of God reveals the election, the choice of God of his dear people. Here is this then the calling of God to this one by the apostles' ministry. And an effectual calling indeed, because the heart was opened as she and one who worshipped God has chosen so to do under God's quickening power. And one of those in whom the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. She could not be cast out, and neither can you seeking soul this evening. Though the enemy coming in like a flood brings so much discouragement and darkness, he will in no wise cast out, because indeed it is the Lord who opens the heart, who gives that the hearing in the heart, causes the soul then to hear the voice of the shepherd in the word. And from the ministered word, the read word, and in the means of grace, as the voice of God may be heard, not just only through the precious word of God and the labouring in the ministry of the word, but in the singing of the hymns, the praying of prayers, and likewise, God is a sovereign how he will speak, and that surely he will cause his voice to be heard. And so it was then, here then, who heard us, and these words then that were heard effectually. Oh, may we know that in our souls, that which the Lord is opening our hearts concerning to receive from his word, that word of power and of blessing to us. Oh, that word that speaks of that precious promise, indeed, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so made that particular blessing, as the apostle refers to it in the Hebrews, with those words, for he hath said. And that must be emphasized, that it is God who has spoken the promise. It would not be of any benefit or blessing were it not the voice of God, the voice of the shepherd, because it is only he that can fulfill that word. It is only he that can cause us to hear it, in opening the ear of the soul, and therefore he having that power to fulfill that word. And oh, what a great matter that is, the fulfilling of God of his promises. A great mercy where we have that word upon which he has caused us to hope, the hope in his promise, the hearing of the promise. But what grace we need to see him performing that promise. He is faithful that hath promised. He cannot deny himself. He must indeed fulfill that promise that he has spoken. And so how suited that prayer of the psalmist then in the 119th psalm. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. There the heart opened and that grace of hope in lively exercise over the word of promise. Lord, thou saidst. Oh, do we come to the throne of grace, pleading over the word of the Lord, what the good shepherd himself has spoken. We think of often in that word of the Jacob in Genesis 32, where he was returning to Bethel, and so he had to go in that way of prayer. Yes, that wrestling prayer, but before that wrestling prayer we read, Lord, thou sayest, thou wilt surely do thee good. And we know that returning to Bethel, of course, it was to meet his offended brother Esau with those 400 men. The impossibility that stood in the way. But God, who had opened his heart and given him that word to hope in, would fulfill that word. He would not leave it to fall to the ground. And he must be spared that wrath and anger, even though it may seem in a just way, that was in the heart of his brother Esau. God knows those difficulties and trials in our pathway that come against us like manna. Oh, is it that which we must pour out our soul before our God, pleading the word that he has spoken? Is it A sweet word to us indeed, because he has opened our heart. He has caused it to be found deep within us. We may say, well, it seems to be so much so that it is hidden away. It seems all forgotten. So, he that opened the heart and gave the word in the soul, is he not he that will fulfill the word? And as it was in the case of Lydia here then, she attended to those things that were spoken by Paul. Those things were brought forth in their power. It was the Lord that made the opening, caused the entrance of that word that giveth light, caused the flowing out of the soul over the word. So we see in this subject this evening then the liberty that the soul is to be brought into, though often feeling its bondage, often feeling to be in that low place then that is shut up and in a sinking place. Yet blessed be God, he has that appointed time, and there was that in the soul of the psalmist as he penned out those desires under the Spirit's blessing, that saw there was that appointment of God for the time of his blessing, that indeed he would not leave his soul destitute in that place. And it is something for the encouragement of our souls that God cannot forsake his church. His work must go on, and how we need not the things of God this in a general way then, but personally. But if it is to be then a promise and a blessing for his church, it must be in that personal way to those souls of his dear people. And oh, the longing soul, as the heart is opened of the Lord, to look then unto God, to come where we are. So the psalmist saw then that though he perished and was brought so low, God was eternal. He indeed would endure forever, and as such, who is eternal from ever and forever, he must surely arise, come above all that we are sunk into, and have mercy upon Zion. For that time to favour, yet the set time is come, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favour the dust thereof. How suited to this of dear Apostle Paul's ministry. You not read of any great men at this place that he was sent to, but it was the stones and the dust, the little ones, those praying souls whom he was to go to a sent of his God. And so still likewise must not the gospel ministry be sent forth to those living praying souls, not seeking it as it were then to be before what men might call good or great, but as the psalmist beheld it there, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favour the dust thereof, what God is using, bringing forth to be that building of Zion upon that one foundation. And oh, how that foundation then is this Christ himself, who opens the heart, whose heart the Lord opened, and in so doing he speaks then of the prayer then of the destitute. Oh, those souls sunk so low, seeming so insignificant, and must surely be cast away and discarded. So unlike then that character whom the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of as a Pharisee, who came forth with boldness and pride in his heart concerning his religion, but the character like unto the publican indeed, in all humility standing afar off and feeling the burden, the weight of his sin in his own soul, as one destitute. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer, whose heart the Lord opened. Oh, indeed, this soul indeed given such then access to God, oh, at the throne of grace, though found then with those sacrifices of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, thou wilt not despise, O God. Yes, dear David knew that he could bring sacrifices and offerings in so many things, as he speaks of it in Psalm 51, but that sacrifice that was only acceptable to God was what God must give himself, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Of course, we do not read of a sacrifice or an offering that was to be made for the murderer or the adulterer. But it needs to be what God doeth in the soul of his dear people as they are destitute as sinners before God. Oh, this wonderful entrance of God into the soul by the Spirit, that indeed he may look down then from that height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner. Oh, we only deserve God to look down in condemnation. We may feel that this evening. Surely if he looketh upon me, he must cut me off. Surely how can we continue with before such a God? But have not we read that he beholdeth the earth to hear that heart whom he has opened, whose sighs and cries come forth, he is hearing those cries. Oh, may we have a felt sense this evening that our cry indeed is heard of God. We may not have the answer to it yet, but has it entered his ear? Is he not the God then that heareth then the groaning of the prisoner? And will he not give the answer to loose those that are appointed unto death? They shall be set at liberty, that God hath had a appointed time to make that answer known indeed. Oh, the sovereignty again of God, whose heart it is the Lord as opening, as bringing forth his work to come to pass. That wise divine appointment of our God, indeed, as the psalmist speaks in Psalm 31 verse 15, my times are in his hand. Here were the appointed times of God in the hand of God. And so when that is, if our hearts are opened in that matter, are we not to see that those very times of God are our times indeed, and that our times are his times, his appointments, in all that took place here, the ordering of these providences, none of them in a haphazard way, but as appointed so singly of God in the cases of his dear people. And must that not be still the working of God? As we read then the Lord Jesus Christ drawing near and going with those two on that Emmaus road, and likewise in the parable of the Good Samaritan, that one that came where he was, doth he not still draw near and go with his dear people? Does he not know our case and come where we are at the appointed time? Because it is the Lord, the Almighty God himself, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and oh indeed the Lord who had sent the apostle to minister here, to appoint this time of hearing, to appoint this time then of the effectual working of the word in the soul, that she attended unto those things which were spoken of Paul. And may we know what follows then, the entrance of the word that bringeth light, the wonderful working of the Spirit in the soul. Oh, must it not be then that which is to the honour of God? Here this dear woman then baptized, making that open profession of those things, and not ashamed of that which was done of the Lord. And we may say, well, we have not that great outward demonstration as may be seen here. But oh, it is not in the outward matter, it is in the inward matter. It is what takes place inwardly that makes the soul a follower outwardly. Oh, to be kept then just from an outward religion and having a form of religion but denying the power thereof. Here is the power of God that brings forth then the outward profession in humble dependence, in felt nothingness before God, that the soul living upon God is faithfully upheld and ever fed of the Lord, not leaving his people to be cast away, not leaving them to be indeed left behind, as it were. They often feel to be so. But indeed, not a hoof of them shall be left behind of that company in deliverance from Egypt. And so likewise with God's dear people, not one of them can be left behind. But he must bring them all, as he has said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Oh, may the Lord bring his word with his gracious liberty, opening our hearts indeed, that we may attend unto the things which are spoken. Oh, may they be then not as mentioned here then of Paul, but as we know them to be then of the Lord himself. Yes, he uses the humble means of the gospel ministry, but are we not to lose sight of men, to see no man but Jesus alone, to know and feel it is the word of the Lord indeed speaking? And what a witness that is to be to our souls in the exercise of our souls, the word of the prophet Isaiah, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. It makes all the difference where the word then is out of the mouth of the Lord. Because indeed it is that word then where the word of the king is, it is with power. It has that mark. It enters in. It is directed from heaven to bring that soul to heaven. And how we need such a religion, not to leave us just bound up in the things of earth, not just satisfied with earthly things, but desiring heavenly things, longing to see the Saviour's face, longing to be in the Saviour's presence. Oh, these are the longings of the heart whom the Lord opens. Oh, may he favour us so with his blessing, to feel his presence indeed, and to feel it, our cries enter indeed to where he is found in that heavenly place. And feel indeed that he is in that heavenly place as that mediator for us, praying, oh indeed, on our behalf. And even in that way that he has spoken to those disciples, that thy faith fail not. Yes, we will often feel to be much failures in the way. But blessed be God who upholds his people because he prayeth for them, and that faith that he hath given, he maintains that faith. He does not leave it to then fail his people, though we fail in all that we are. Grace must indeed, and it shall triumphantly reign. Oh, may we know its power in our souls. May he come this evening and bless our souls through his word as we read of it here, as one whom then whose heart the Lord opened. Oh, may we know that flowing out of our soul unto our God in supplications, the word of God flowing into our souls as he has opened it to receive the truth, and in it the precious presence of our God be known and felt to us each. May God bless to us his word and forgive all unspoken wrong. Amen.